A little bit, if you'd like. It got really bright up here all of a sudden, like halogen headlights or something. You know, next week, I just wanted to preface, add to what Dan said to you tonight. Next week, you're going to find out if you come, a few things about the Rock that you may not know, and they're important things. I'm going to talk next week about how you can go deeper in your faith. What is the overall purpose of the Rock and what we're trying to accomplish and how we're trying to accomplish it. So I'd really invite you back next week. And if you have a friend, bring them, because you're going to find some really unique ways that you can get more involved in the Rock. Tonight we're going to finish the book of Ephesians, and we've been spending the summer going through this book, and I entitled it Straight Talk from the Bible. And I would say that tonight one of the things that one of the ways you could describe what we're going to discuss are maybe the most important facts of life. Now, I know what comes to your mind when you think of the facts of life, but tonight what I'm going to share with you from this book, from chapter 6, is maybe one of the most important things that you understand about life. It will help you put a lot of things together, but it will also prepare you and warn you and alert you to what really is going on in the world you and I live in. So let's bow our heads together for a word of prayer and make sure our own hearts prepared and ready, and then ask God to open His Word to us this evening. Father, we just thank You tonight. We thank You tonight, Lord, that You're here. We thank You that You're working in each life and each person in this room. There's no one here this evening by accident. There's not a person here tonight, Lord, that You don't know. You know their story. You know where they were born. You know what's transpired every day, every hour, every minute of their life from the moment they were born. You know what's going to occur tomorrow, and You know what's going to occur 40 years from now and 10 years from now. And You have things, Lord, here tonight in Your Word that You want to help us understand, that You want to alert us to, that You want to prepare us so that we might have the life that You intended for us. Help us, Lord, tonight not to miss the truths that You lay out in Ephesians. In Jesus' name, amen. The writer of the book of Ephesians is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. We believe, Christians believe, real Christians, believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Not something we just pulled out of the hat, but through research, through archaeology, through careful study of the ancient manuscripts, through the miracle validation, through the foretelling, which we refer to as prophecies in the Scripture. We believe unequivocally that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. It's not just some neat little book that has some neat little things in it, but it is God's direct revelation to His creation, human beings. So we take the Bible very seriously. I have been a Christ follower for 32 years. And I can tell you personally, from firsthand experience, having read the Bible many, 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 many times, having sought to apply it to my life, having worked with thousands of other people who have done the same, I have found its promises to be true. It works in real life, and God is alive and well in the world. And the gospel has been changing millions and millions and millions of lives, billions by now, for the last 2,000 years. Christ is alive. Christ is at work. And He has given us this book to guide us, to direct us, to lead us, to advise us, to instruct us, to correct us, and to warn us. And tonight we're going to look at the last portion of Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul says this, a final word. A final word. In other words, he's trying to underscore, now, finally, I want to tell you this. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks and schemes of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Now, before I go on and talk about this evening and what the armor is and how we use it, I want to just underscore something with you tonight. It's very, very important that you understand this. And in fact, if you miss this, you're in a lot of trouble. And no exaggeration at all here tonight. I am not exaggerating at all. You are in a lot of trouble if you do not understand that you and I are in a war, in a terrible, bloody war. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, therefore, be self-controlled, be alert, for your great adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, there was about 15 different video clips I wanted to show tonight, and I wish I could just connect the video machine to my brain and then instantly bring them up, but I can't. It'd work a lot better if it would happen that way. But I was thinking tonight of the movie The Ghost in the Darkness, based on the true story, starring Michael Douglas and Val Kilmer. Most of you probably haven't seen it. It's about 10 or 15 years old. But it's about a man killing two man-killing lions in Africa. And these were big game hunters, and they went and hunt in search for it. And one of them, Val Kilmer, got killed and eaten by this lion. The devil is not some imaginary mythological figure. The devil is not some imaginary mythological character that is made up to personify evil. Lucifer is alive. Lucifer is the great, powerful demon. And he is over an army of demons. And the Bible speaks very directly of this. Jesus Christ had a personal face-to-face battle and encounter for 40 days and 40 nights with the devil. And he won. Jesus won. And ultimately, Christ defeated the devil when he died. The devil thought he was winning. The devil thought, I will wait for God's son to be born and then I will kill him, not realizing that he played right into the Father's hand. So now that he realizes he cannot get the son, he comes after the son's children. And Revelation makes it very clear that there's a great battle going on. Paul makes it very clear that there's a great struggle going on. And we are engaged, whether you realize it or not, in that struggle. If you don't realize it, you're already losing. And we want to try to turn that around tonight. Very much like our brave men and women who are serving in Iraq. There's danger, especially depending on which city you're in, Baghdad being the worst, Basra being not too good, Fallujah not being too good. I have some dear friends that are serving there. And those guys are suited up. Man, they've got body armor, many of them do, not all of them. They ride around in special armored vehicles, and there are dangers everywhere. And you better believe they walk around alert. They recognize that it's not playtime. They recognize that they're not over there to collect, marbles or fun things that they find in the desert. But they realize that each and every day they're on the front lines of battle for freedom and to help establish some semblance of a democracy and safety for the Iraqi people. You and I are at war, and there is someone at war with us, and he really makes Osama bin Laden look like child's play. The devil makes 9/11 look like child's play. He is devouring, even as we speak right now, hundreds of thousands of unsuspecting Christian men and women who have let their guard down, who are disobedient to the word of God, who have gotten deceived or duped or discouraged or disheartened. And the devil's got them. And he's wreaking havoc in their lives. And if you're not careful, He will do the same in your life. This is not a game. This is not like, oh, you know, dress rehearsal. You and I are engaged in a life and death struggle. In the book of Daniel, I won't go to it tonight, you can read it yourself. We get a picture of the kind of supernatural things that are going on that we cannot see, but we know they are because the Bible lets us know they are. And God sees the unseen. God sees night and day as if it were all bright light to Him. It's the same. He sees it all. And in the book of Daniel, Daniel took place in which was ancient Iraq. In fact, Saddam Hussein dreamed of being Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king that Daniel served. And Daniel, as you know, was thrown into the lion's den. True story, not made up. And he saw the supernatural power of God. Well, the Babylonians, that's what they were referred to at that time. We refer to them today as modern Iraq. They got together, the leaders, the officers. They were very jealous of Daniel. They were, because he was a Jew, and he was godly, and he was God-fearing. And everything he did, God blessed. And he had special favor from the king. So they talked the king into making up this special law. But you got to bow down to his idol. And then they made up a law, an edict, that no one can pray to any other god but to Nebuchadnezzar. And if anyone's caught, they'll be thrown in the lion's den. Well, the Bible says as soon as Daniel heard this, he went back to his room and prayed three times a day, as was his tradition, as he always did. Three times a day, Daniel was praying, seeking God, seeking God. They threw him in the lion's den. Daniel was quite a mighty man, a very spiritual man. Sometime after he was in the lion's den, he was praying, and God had given him a great vision of what was going to come in the future. But before the answer came, the Bible reveals to us, when the angel came and brought him the answer, he said, "Oh, mighty warrior, oh, beloved of God, for 20 nights and 20 days I came to bring you your answer, but the king of Persia kept me from bringing your answer. But then Michael the archangel came to help me, and I was free to bring you the answer." The person speaking to him is an angel. And what he makes very clear is what this verse says. There are demonic influences. There are great spiritual powers that you cannot see that are over nations. The devil is highly organized. He has an agenda just as God has an agenda. And his agenda is to keep, first of all, men and women from seeing the light of the gospel, to keep them from coming to know Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. His next agenda is to destroy your life since you become a believer. You are a marked man or woman, and he will do everything in his power. Now, this is important you understand this. He has limited power, but he has power to destroy your life. And that's why Paul is writing about this. You and I need to understand that we've got to be strong in the Lord and in God's power. God gives us a power through the Holy Spirit, an empowerment to live life, an empowerment that we don't have to run and cower. We don't have to go forward in fear, but we must go forward with wisdom. We must go forward fully aware and with a healthy respect of our adversary and realize he's really there. He's really there. You may not know this. I've said this from time to time, but I realize some of you are new. Part of my job is picking up the wounded. Part of my job is trying to help people who have been deceived by him put their lives back together. Over the last many, many years that I have been pastoring, I can tell you countless stories of men and women whose lives, they were just going along their merry way. Some of them decided, for example, you know, I don't really need church. I don't really need to be around other Christians on a regular basis. Oh, that's not like murdering anybody. That's not like stealing. That's not like, you know, something really bad. Oh, you would not believe how bad that is. That's a really stupid thing. That's a really stupid thing. Almost every person that I've dealt with that has fallen away into terrible, tragic sin, it all started by neglecting their family, their spiritual family. They decided they didn't really need the teaching of the Word of God. They decided they didn't really need to be around other believers or an intimate fellowship with others. And whenever you don't develop Christian friendships, this is very important you understand this. You and I were designed for relationship. When we drift from God, we drift from Christians. When we drift from Christians, we drift from God. When we drift from the local church where the Christians are, we drift from God, we drift from them, and you know what? We replace it. The vacuum gets filled. And you know who it gets filled with? It gets filled with people who have values and habits that are always contrary to the Word of God. And I have watched people do things they would have never done 5 months earlier. I have watched affairs unfold. All started because somebody just decided to start sitting around with friends, drinking, having fun. Their discernment got lowered. Their guard went down. Pretty soon they became discontent. Pretty soon they began to flout God. And the next thing you know, they were in bed with someone else's spouse. I have watched people go back to drugs. I have watched people go down an alcoholic road. I have watched people become bitter and resentful and the devil destroying their life, devouring their life, just like the Bible says. Because they did not take the warning of the Word of God seriously. There are powerful forces, more powerful than any government in the world, than any terrorist organization, that literally want to ruin your life. And you better get it. You better wake up and recognize he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your children. And he'll do it in all kinds of ways. See, he doesn't necessarily do it like 9/11 knocking down towers and all this blood and gore. He'll do it and you'll actually think you're enjoying life. You might be driving that brand new car that you're in debt up to your eyeballs and you can barely survive, but man, you're driving your car and he's got you. He's destroying you with greed. You might think to yourself, oh, Mark, you're an idiot, man. You're a fool, man. I am so cool. I've got 3 or 4 women that I can have whenever I want. You're the fool. You're the fool. He's already got you. They may be gorgeous. You may think you've got it made. You don't have anything made. You are really in a lot of trouble. Now, of course, there's times the devil just take you down the road of addiction and you'll end up in the gutter. I hope that Owen Wilson can beat whatever he's got to beat, or he's going to end up like Chris Farley or John Belushi or lots of others who on the outside looked like had it all made, but their private life was a living hell. A lot of Christians today that think, oh man, I got it made. They don't have it made at all. Their life is being destroyed. Little bit, little bit, little bit. So now that we have that clear, that you understand there are wicked spirits, there are mighty powers of darkness in the world, now let's talk about what armor you need. Like every piece, use every piece of armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil. I want to share something with you very interesting about the scripture. The Bible tells us to flee youthful lust. It tells us to flee them, run away. I'll give you an example. Joseph was a real figure in the Old Testament. His brothers sold him to Egypt. He ended up serving in the household of one of Pharaoh's favorite officers, Potiphar. Potiphar's wife, she took a liking to 17-year-old Joseph. And she tried repeatedly to seduce him. You know what he did every time? He fled her presence. He didn't stand there trying to debate with her. He fled. He got out. Because you have to flee youthful lust. But never once does the Bible say, flee the devil. The greatest power besides God in the world, the devil, the Bible never says to flee him. Says, resist him. Fight back. Fight back. Do not put your tail between your legs and run. Resist him, and he'll flee. But you've got to have the right equipment to do that. The time of evil is going to come in your life. It's going to come at a most inopportune time. There will be special times in your life that come all of a sudden, like Jesus. He's going along, and then all of a sudden there's that 40 days, 40 nights of temptation. And then it came in different forms. It came through his family. It came through others trying to seduce him to be their king. And Jesus always had to stay focused on the will of God, on the will of God, on the will of God, rather than his human desires. So we use every piece, the Bible says, so that after the battle, you'll still be standing. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the readiness to preach the good news of peace with God, so that you'll be fully prepared. In every battle, you'll need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. I want to read this to you before I comment on this from the Message Bible. Finally, God is strong. And he wants you to be strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you. Well-made weapons of the best materials. And put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps. A life and death fight to the finish against the devil and all his evil angels. Be prepared. You are up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, the good news, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard, pray long, pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. And don't forget to pray for me. This is no athletic endeavor that you'll forget about in a couple hours. This is a life and death struggle. Life and death struggle. Use every piece of armor. Put on the sturdy belt of truth. Truth. You know what the devil's name means? It means liar, deceiver. First thing the devil will strive to do is deceive you. First thing the devil did with Eve. Oh, Eve. Oh, hey, wait, wait. God didn't really say, don't eat of the tree. God wants to keep something from you. God knows that if you eat that, you'd be just like him, Eve. Don't you worry at all. He lied to her. He distorted God. He lied about God. He lied about what God said. And she believed him. How many times have you done the same? How many times have you lied to yourself? How many times have you made excuses for the bad decisions that you made? And you knew clearly they were in the Word of God and God was warning you, but you did them anyway. You did them anyway. Today, we live in a society that justifies everything. They justify everything. The sturdy belt of truth. In Roman times, Paul was looking at a Roman soldier when he penned the book of Ephesians. It was the belt that held all the other armor together. Truth is your foundation. Without truth, none of the rest are going to work. You've got to know the truth. You've got to have your nose in the book. You've got to come to this church or some other Bible preaching church where you can learn the truth and apply it to your life. Does you no good just to know it? You've got to learn to do it and stand on the belt of truth or you're going to be in a lot of trouble. I can't tell how many times the devil will come and he'll try to dissuade you. He'll try to discourage you from obeying what God says. I remember as a parent, one simple little example. As a parent, I have four children. Basically, they're all raised now. And I remember all the people telling me, Mark, you know, it's not popular to spank. That's old-fashioned. Nobody believes in that except the Word of God. But you know who really cares about the Word of God? We're smart, man. We've outgrown God. With all our technological advances, look at all the beautiful examples out there of families and children. Man, doesn't it just send chills up and down your spine? Boy, the world really knows what they're doing when it comes to family, don't they? So my wife and I, we began to develop our family. We began to decide, how are we going to build our family? We're going to build it on the Word of God. You know what? It worked. Raised four God-loving, God-honoring children. And this is honest to God truth. As God is my witness, I have hardly had a single problem with any of my children. I mean, I have not had a child that has gone off and rebelled, or that's gone off over here, or gone off on the drinking path, or gone off on the immoral path, or gone off, and, you know, Dad, I just don't know if I really buy into your religion to believe God is true. Why? Because I desperately cried out to God. I realized I was in a great struggle. I prayed desperately for my children, long and hard. I beat over my own life to conform it to God, to exemplify to my children and live a life that they will want to follow. Because I knew at any time, if I fall away, I jeopardize these children's future. This is not a game. Mark, this is not a game. This will be the most important thing you do. Exemplify Christ to them. Acknowledge to them when you've been wrong. Walk in humility with God. Build on the truth. Train them. Teach them the meaning of the word no. I did not care what my in-laws said or what other people said or what Dr. Spock said or what psychologists said. What matters is the truth. The truth. And we're going to find out, won't we? Day after day, year after year, what are you going to do with the truth? I can't tell how many times I have wept, my heart has been broken as I have dealt with dear saints that I love, dear believers in the Bible, just so you don't think I'm weird, you are a saint. If you know Jesus Christ, the Bible refers to you repeatedly as saints. So we could call you Christian, disciple, believer, saint, child of God. They're all interchangeable. They're talking about the same person. Dear Christians that I have known, that I have taught for over 20 years, that have allowed themselves to be deceived and crushed and their lives ruined, breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Because I love them and I care about them. And I'm trying to deal with some, even as tonight, as I speak, people's lives, and I'm trying to help them get back on the path. And I don't know if they're going to. And if they don't, it's going to be a tremendous tragedy. The belt of truth. The belt of truth. Putting on the body armor of God's righteousness. Listen, one of the things the devil's going to do, first he's going to try to deceive you. Then he'll try to discourage you. One of the ways to try to discourage you is by always pointing the finger at you, at your flaws, at your faults. Christian, if you're really a Christian, why would you do something like that? You're so pathetic. Oh, God can never use you. Just forget this whole thing. And he'll try to rip the heart right out of you. Now, this is very important. The body armor of God's righteousness is the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ. Not the righteousness you've earned, not looking at your performance. Man, I'm really good. But the righteousness that God gives us, we call it the imputed righteousness. The gift of God's righteousness to you and I. We wear it right here proudly. Protects us. See, it protects us psychologically. It protects us emotionally from the lies that the devil tells us about us. Listen, we have three great enemies in the world. The world, that is, when I say the world, I mean the world system, its value system. The flesh, that's the body we're stuck in till we go to be with the Lord. We're going to get new bodies. But in the meantime, we're stuck in this old body. And it's kind of like a car that always pulls to the right, in other words, to the ditch. You got to keep your hand on the wheel and gas going forward. Or every time you brake, you got to hold that wheel, it's going to want to go to the ditch. That's the way the flesh is. God understands that. God knows that. And He has given us the righteousness of Christ and the forgiveness of God. And through His Holy Spirit, we're able, one, to overcome sin, and two, to overcome the guilt when we sin. But if you take on the righteousness of God, the devil will eat you for breakfast. He'll tear you up so bad psychologically, you'll get under the performance track, and you'll be like, oh man, I got to do this right. I got to do this perfect. I got to do this perfect, 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 perfect. The next thing you realize, you're really far from perfect, and you're going to get so discouraged, so legalistic, that it's just going to rot you out. This is one of the reasons, by the way, this is one of the reasons so many people in the world are turned off to Christianity. This is why so many religions based loosely on Christianity, but are not real Christianity. And they have different names. I won't name them tonight. Why so many people become disillusioned? Because they feel so condemned and so guilt-ridden. Because it's like Phariseeism. You can never live up to the righteous requirements of the law. It's a gift that God gives to us, the righteousness of Christ when we come to Christ. When we become a Christian, we become like God. In the eyes of God, we are given His righteousness. And now, positionally, we have that righteousness before God. We no longer need to feel guilty. There is no condemnation now, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ. And then also at the same time, we now have a new power to overcome the fleshly habits that we used to have, which we're going to need to learn in time to develop better and better and better and more mature Christian habits. But the righteousness he's talking about here is not living a life of perfection, but it's the righteousness that God gives us. Now, the next one is usually where most Christians are falling down, and it's actually, if you think about this tonight when I share this with you, you'll realize that many Christians are losing the battle. You cannot win the battle without all the pieces of the armor. This is very important to understand. You can't go, well, I'm really strong in that one. No, it's a whole outfit. If you don't have the whole outfit on, you're naked. This is where the vast majority of Christian evangelicals are falling flat on their face. You know what this says? For shoes right here. Put on the readiness to preach the gospel of peace with God. The vast majority of Christians are not sharing their faith with anybody. That's what this is saying. You want to know one of the reasons so many of you are struggling in your Christian life? Because you aren't regularly sharing your faith. I got into one fight in my life. Believe it or not, I really do try to avoid fights. There was this guy in high school, and he was always picking on me. All the time. So one day, after months and months and months, I thought, you know, I've had it. So I was outside of shop class. And we got into a serious altercation. I didn't throw any fists. It was more of a throw him against the wall kind of altercation because I knew if we threw fists, I'd get in a whole lot of trouble. Plus, I may break some teeth and may have to pay money, and I don't want to do that. So the fight was going my way, except for one problem. I had on the wrong shoes. Yeah, I had on zip-up platform shoes. Yeah, with bell bottoms. And you notice I have my Harley Davidson boots on right here that tie up. I swore to myself as a kid, this is no lie, I will never be caught, get caught in the wrong shoes again. I never have. I don't wear those wimpy little flip-flops. Sorry, guys. If my son was here, he wears them all the time. Jeremy's probably got them on right now in California. I can't stand those things. But I'll tell you what, you got flip-flops on, you're not ready to fight. Let me tell you that. You're in a lot of trouble. And if you got baggy pants on down to right about here, first thing I'm going to do in a fight is pull them down around your legs. And then we'll see how well you can fight or run. You're going to be in a lot of trouble. Now, I'm not trying to prepare you to fight. I don't believe that's generally the way to solve problems. I'd only do it if I really, really had to. But I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that after I threw him against the wall and I was winning, next thing you know, we get up and he starts pushing and I had no traction and my legs just kept sliding against the wall till I was against the locker. I didn't like that. So then we had to take it to another level. And then he threatened me with all his wrestler buddies. And, well, anyway, nothing ever came of it, but it was not a good situation. Let me tell you the honest truth. Statistically, there have been surveys done, extensive surveys among born-again Christians in the United States. And you know what the surveys show? That the vast majority of them will never share their faith with anyone. Guess what? You're already dead meat. If you do not understand what your mission is, if you're not ready with the gospel to be aggressive when that opportunity comes to share the good news of peace with God, with others, you aren't ready for the battle, and you're already getting beat up. This is why so many people think, oh, Mark, I don't have the gift of an evangelist. That's okay. It's not about having the gift. It's about having the right clothes on. It's about having your shoes on. It's about having your shoes on, see? And so you and I need to be ready, not because, like, oh, that witnessing thing. It's because it's part of the whole. You know, I know a young couple here at The Rock, just... It's so touched. I'm so touched usually when I visit with them. They share with me how active they are week after week after week sharing their faith. They go to a restaurant, they get into some conversation. They get in an airplane, they get into some conversation with somebody about the Lord. And recently this young person was just telling me, you know, Mark, I've begun learning to be more courageous and I can turn any conversation towards God. And that's true if you hang with them. Recently, this person was telling me the story of they were working on a project with a lot of non-Christians. And so after work one night, they all went out to eat. So they went with them and they're sitting around. They were having beers. And so they start talking about some of the guys are going like, you know, I could never, girls, you know, you can't trust them. I'm afraid to get married. I mean, they just start talking like this. And, you know, you never know if they're going to be faithful to you. They probably mess around. And so this young man said, well, you know, I've been married for a number of years now. He's a pretty young guy. Said, man, I love it, and I trust my wife and my life. And these other people kind of, you know, spit their beer back out like, what? How? Why? Because my wife lives by a moral code called the Word of God. And I have the confidence that because of her relationship with Jesus Christ, that whether she feels like it or not, she's decided not to live by her feelings, which change and go up and down, but instead live by the moral code written in the Bible. They were just flabbergasted. And you know what? They asked you more questions. They didn't go, oh, you're an idiot. How about you leave our table? Then they got into this, and then they got into a rock, and then they got onto this topic, and then they got on that topic. Man, it was just having a heyday talking about... You see, because they were ready. They were ready. They were ready and unashamed to interact on what was most dear to them, the good news. You can learn to do the same. And I'll tell you what, if you don't, you're going to lose this battle. I'm not making this up. You're going to lose the battle. This is why it's so important that we're living for the Great Commission. This is why it's so important that we remember God left us here to share the good news with others. But what's interesting is it's part of our armor. And then he says, so that you'll be fully prepared. Because you won't be fully prepared if you don't have the shoes on with the readiness to share the good news. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. There are fiery arrows. Some of you know, I only have one life, I only have one story, so I'll use this as an illustration, that my daughter, Jessica, she'll be 23, September 10th. And for the last 3.5 years, she's been extremely sick. God just frankly came along a little bit like Job and took everything from her, took her health from her, took her ability to, if I gave you the gory details, it's really gory. And it's costing, right now, it cost me last month $2,400 out of pocket. And it's been that way for the last almost 2 years. And by the grace of God, miraculously, He's provided. Sometimes I look, I go, I don't know how, Lord, but He has. So I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you it's been a big trial. You know what my greatest fear has been in this thing? My greatest fear is that Jessica will lose her faith. That's been my greatest fear. I cannot tell you the tears I have shed, the hours I have begged God. Oh God, if it's your plan to allow her to be sick longer than a year, longer than another month, longer than another year and a half, God, preserve her faith. Help her to keep taking up the shield of faith to believe your promise, to believe you are going to work this for good. You are God. You are not robbing her. You are not ripping her off. You're wise, you're intelligent, and you're fair, oh God. Because if she loses that, I can't get inside her head and turn a little dial and cause her to believe. Do you understand that? That scares me badly. You know, I know exactly what the devil's trying to do with my daughter. Not a day that goes by that my wife doesn't sit by the bedside reading the scriptures to Jessica, that she doesn't listen to some good music, that we don't read her something to inspire her soul and to keep her spirits up as she fights this great struggle. I also know that the devil knew there's nothing more precious to me than my children. And if I told you over the last 4 years simultaneously what's happened to me besides my daughter, you'd realize he's been after me. Trying to take the heart right out of me. Trying to get me just to decide, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to move from this town, live in a little trailer out in some reservation somewhere, collect firewood. I don't want to deal with the human race anymore. I want to let them go to hell in a handbasket, Lord, and cry in my beer and let my life just come to an end. And I'm not exaggerating. I know exactly the devil's been trying to dishearten my wife and I, to discourage us. I take the shield of faith up. And every single morning, I go out for about an hour prayer walk. And I walk and I pray and I talk to God and I pour out my heart and I pray for you guys and I pray for my family. I pray for the church. I pray for fellow pastors. Again, this struggle that we're in, because I realize He's trying to destroy the people that I love. This isn't a game. This is real. The stuff that she's had to deal with, stuff you're dealing with, it's real. And it's painful. And it's difficult. And we've got to take up the shield of faith and God's promises. Because these arrows, they're fiery and they're aimed right at you. And they're coming with zing and they're coming with venom. And they get through, they hurt. And they have the potential to destroy. Put on salvation as your helmet. Salvation is your helmet. Protects your mind. It protects your hope. You see, the salvation he's talking about here is our hope of eternity, our hope. And now it's not, I hope I win the lottery. It's a sure thing. But it's real easy to get our eyes on the things down here and forget our real hope. See, and forget Christ is coming back. He's going to take me home. I'm going to have a new body. Jessie, sweetheart, she's asked me, Dad, do you think I'll ever get well? Boy, what does a father, listen, if you want to be honest, what does a father say to that? I could lie. You may not think this is a lie. You may think a father ought to do this. I could lie and say, oh, sweetheart, without question, you're going to get well. I don't know that. I do not know that. I've never told Jessica that. I've said this. I've said, sweetheart, I said, with all my heart, I pray for you to get better every day. There are thousands of people. I recently received a note from an obscure village in Honduras of a group of villagers there that were praying for my daughter every day. I said, sweetheart, there are 1,000 people praying for you. You're obviously making progress. God has helped you get better than you were a year ago. But sweetheart, I know this. There is a day coming that without question, all these physical problems you're having, all this terrible blistering and pain issues that you're having, all this skin stuff, all this junk coming out of your body, there's a day coming. It will end. You're going to get a new body and you will be well then. I know that. That I know. Whether God allows this to go on for my wife and my daughter and I for another 5 years, another 10, or maybe, Lord, maybe this will be the last year. I don't know that. But if I don't keep my hope up, if I don't remember He saved me and He's going to come again and save us, and there's this glorious conclusion, man, we've won, then I would just pack it up, throw in the towel, and walk away from God. And lastly, he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword. You got to fight back with truth, the Word of God. You got to fight back with God's promises. You got to fight back aggressively. It's time to get aggressive as a Christian with what you believe and what the Word of God says. You can't just make up your beliefs. You have to get in the Word of God and find out, what does God give me permission to believe? What does His promises say? And trust God and develop your relationship with God and then learn to wield that truth. And finally, and this is very important, a lot of Christians, they miss this. Pray at all times. Be a person of prayer on every occasion in the power of God. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. Stop being lazy. Get active, get energized, get invigorated, go after it, seek God. I'm telling you right now, there have been times during this trial and the other overlapping trials of the last 4.5 years that I have been completely worn down. I felt like I had to take this leg and grab it and move it, but I'll tell you what, I grabbed it and moved it and went out praying. There has not been a day that I missed. It scares me to death to think about facing a day without praying, without being persistent in what the Bible tells me, because I realize if the devil gets me disheartened that I don't keep asking God, I am in trouble. And if I get in trouble, listen, you don't think that I realize, now you may think this is taking too much on myself, but you don't think that I realize that if I were to fall away, it would impact a number of people in this room that I love very much and other people in the 4 other churches in this city that I helped start and found and work with, and church overseas and all the people in Honduras that they found out, yeah, you know, Mark Darling, he walked away, he gave it up. You don't think that would unsettle a lot of dear people that I love, that I've ministered to over the years? You bet it would. And I know, oh God, I cannot afford not to pray. I cannot afford not to seek you. You're in a lot of trouble if you're not a person who's going out there after the Almighty God, realizing He invites you, but He also commands you to be persistent in prayer. Pray. Stay alert. And pray for your brothers and sisters. Listen, I pray for you guys. Now, I don't know all your names, but I pray every day specific things for you all. I pray for this church. I pray for many other churches that I know of in Europe, people I know personally, because we are involved in a great struggle. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for the Word of God, for the promises of God, for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you tonight, Lord, that you are greater. Greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. I want to thank you, Lord, tonight. Again, the clock is always my enemy. There's so much more, Lord, to say on this topic. I'm so thankful, Lord, tonight that none of us have to worry that the devil can ever physically get inside of us, because your Spirit lives in us. He can never overpower the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to, you know, speak to the devil and shout at the devil. The Bible tells us simply resist him. Take up the belt of truth. Take up the shield of faith. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Be active sharing our faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. These are the key. These are the secrets to doing combat and surviving. But Lord, help us to do these. Help us to get into this book, to grasp this, to obey it, to apply it in our lives, or we're going to become deceived, distracted, discouraged, devoured, distanced from God and from others, disheartened. And the devil's going to appeal to our pride and our jealousy and our greed and our lust and our ego. Help us, O God, to take the warnings of the Word of God deadly serious. In Jesus' name, amen. Lastly, I would just like to say, if any of you could help out tonight and pitch in, tearing down the equipment on the stage, that would be a tremendous help to the three or four guys that usually do it. So thank you very much. 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 Do it. So